All right. If you would grab your Bibles and join me in the book of 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians is the second epistle of Paul the Apostle to the church at Corinth. Or, much easier to say, 2 Corinthians, isn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time, please, if you would, if you're physically able. It keeps you loose anyway, amen. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Really, let me just say this in passing here. There's only two kinds of people in God's eyes.
That's right.
Two kinds of people in this world. Believers and unbelievers.
That's right.
God's not looking for anything else when it comes to eternity. Believers and unbelievers. For what fellowship, verse 14, hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And by the way, I could go there again. Those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ have been made the righteousness of God in Him. Those who are unbelievers, who have not been born again, are living in unrighteousness in God's eyes.
Yeah.
Period. There's no third option.
Right.
And what communion hath light with darkness? There it is again. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. The living God, dearly beloved. That sets him apart from all other gods. The living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is good stuff, man. I'm just about ready to explode up here. Wherefore, verse 17, because of all of that, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Who?
The Lord.
Now, I didn't say it.
Yeah, that's right.
Your mama didn't say it.
Yeah.
Your daddy didn't say it. Your nieces, nephews, uncles, your children didn't say it. God said, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
Amen.
He says, God's still saying here, and will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Amen.
Oh, wow. Y'all pray for me as I pray, all right?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time together. Lord, there's a sweet spirit here this morning.
Yeah.
Lord God, there's so much on my heart. There's so much in this passage. Please, Father, give me clarity of thought. Give me understanding. God, help me to stick to your message, Father. What you want your people to hear. What your flock needs to be fed this morning. I pray, Father, for those that are here that are struggling, that you would give them strength, that they're discouraged, that you'd lift up their spirits. Those that may be lost and undone, without Christ, without hope, without God in this world, that they would come to that understanding today. You would speak and convict them of sin and unrighteousness and unbelief, and God, bring them to the precious truth of the gospel of their salvation. Oh God, do the work in every heart that needs to be done here this morning. Bind Satan, Father. Lord, I know that your people have been praying. I can sense the Spirit, Father, of your Holy Spirit through prayer, through your people coming hungering and thirsting for righteousness, God. Please help me, Father, to be a blessing and strength to them as I honor and please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. There's so much to be said for a scripture like this, and as you can imagine, scripture like this can be very easily twisted, contorted, wrested, perverted, corrupted, made to say things that it doesn't say. But when the Bible does say something, it means to get a message across to you and me. This is God's eternal word given to us, very fallible people, very sinful people, our tendency is not to please God, you understand. Our natural tendency is to please ourselves. We are by nature children of wrath, children of disobedience, children of unrighteousness, unbelieving. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. All have sinned. There is none righteous. We've all come short of the glory of God. And listen, we have a Bible here that just tells us like it is exactly what we need to know. Our theme for this year is drawing near to God, and I'm sticking to that theme still in this series on Sunday mornings. The drawing near to God through the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ. You must be in fellowship with Jesus Christ before you will ever be in fellowship with God. You must be in direct relationship with Jesus Christ as personal Savior before you can ever even desire to draw near to God. You see, Jesus is the way to the Father. He is the only way to the Father. And then through salvation, we come to a love for the Bible. We come to a love for the church. We come to understand the need to pray in Jesus' name. We are given the Holy Spirit, and we learn to submit ourselves to God's Word through the Spirit of God in us. And then that brings us to our topic today, that is separation. The fellowship. Listen now, don't misunderstand. I'm still talking about drawing near to God. There's a fellowship with Jesus Christ of separation. There's a fellowship. Now, this is a very touchy subject today.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try not to just blow through this and rip everybody and understand. I want you to leave this place with a greater understanding of what separation, biblical separation, is all about. But this is a very touchy subject in today's society, especially when you compare and look at Jesus' life. Our scripture plainly tells us, and the gist of all of that I just read to you, is that when we separate ourselves from the uncleanness of the world, we will draw closer and have closer fellowship with the clean, pure, righteous God.
Yep. Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
God is waiting for us, dearly beloved, to understand and to desire and to comply and obey and to follow His leadership, His counsel here. He's waiting for us to come out from among the uncleanness, the vile and despicable of this world, and to draw closer to Himself. Can I tell you this morning, no matter what you do, you got to understand this very biblical sound doctrine of separation.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
But here's what the crowd today will say. This doctrine of separation, although I just read it to you plain as day, I mean, black and white, right there on the page, it's as plain as the nose on your face. You cannot skip what we just read and say that doesn't really exist. It is right there.
That's right. That's right.
It is right there. But here's what they say. They criticize us. They verbally attack us. They talk about us like we're some kind of legalist or some type of, you know, overbearing and unnecessary that and this. But here's what they say. Their justification for that is, well, Jesus ate with sinners.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, you're sitting there thinking, yeah, He did.
Yeah, come on.
And that spirit has already got inside your mind. That spirit has already got inside your crawl, so to speak. And you're thinking, yeah, Jesus did spend time with sinners, preacher. I know He did. So what about Jesus? And here's what they say today in our society when it comes to a Bible preacher standing up and preaching about biblical separation. They malign and criticize and verbally attack and say things about our churches and our people. Like, well, then how are people ever going to get saved if Christians don't ever spend time with them? How are people ever going to get saved if we separate ourselves from them?
Yep, that's right.
Listen to me. Here's what they say. We still have to live in the world.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Come on, Bridget.
Now, there are some doctrines, or should I say religions, that take this way too far.
Uh-huh.
And they put themselves in a isolation, such as monks and monasteries and things like that, and they live in total isolation away from, and that's not what this is teaching.
That's right. That's right.
That is not what this is teaching.
That's right.
Okay? I want you to please, I'm going to go slowly and try to just teach more than I preach this morning, but because this is a very touchy, but it's very necessary that we understand what the Bible is teaching here. The idea behind this series, like I talked about this morning, is drawing near to God. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom we were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So God is the one behind all of this.
Amen.
God is the one behind. He has called us unto Himself by calling us unto the fellowship of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
You understand what fellowship is? I don't need to go into that too much again, but it just simply means being in connection, being in agreement, being in accord with Jesus, being in one mind and one spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ, not having division, not being separated, but being together.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says then that we're to be in fellowship with Jesus, to draw near to God. And understand, there has never been anyone or ever will be anyone closer to God than Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I know that's self-explanatory, but understand something. We are then supposed to be in fellowship with Jesus as we draw closer to God. And as we draw closer to Jesus, we will always be closer to God because He is God.
That's right. Amen.
Now, I'm not going to preach on the Trinity this morning, but He is God manifest in the flesh. God manifest to us, thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Amen.
Yep.
For another thing, listen, no one can ever approach God except through Jesus. He's the only way, He's the only door, He's the only way to life. If I'm going to be in fellowship with Jesus, then I can't be against Him.
That's right,
preacher.
If I'm going to be in fellowship with, I can't be opposed to Him. Let me try to sum up what I'm saying here this way. Jesus ate with unclean sinners, but God tells me to separate from uncleanness.
That's right.
And the Bible cannot contradict itself. We are not studying another Jesus. There's only one Jesus.
Amen.
One Jesus, not two. One. Not 11. One. There's one Jesus. There's one. On each side. There's one Jesus, amen? There's only one. We can't separate Jesus from the rest of the Bible either.
Right.
There's only one Word of God. He is the Word of God, the living Word of God. So the truth that I just read to you cannot conflict with Jesus' life.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, it can't. Understand this, though, before I get started. You are not Jesus.
Yep.
I am certainly not, you know that by now, I am not Jesus. Amen. Yes, Jesus ate with sinners, but I'm not Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
He could not sin. It was impossible for Him to sin.
Come on, man.
God cannot sin. That's impossible. If God could sin, He wouldn't be God. If God could sin, there'd be no heaven. If God could sin, this book would be trash. If God could sin, we'd have no hope. If God could sin, He'd be like you. What kind of God is that? God cannot sin. Jesus cannot sin. But I, on the other hand, I was born with a sin nature. And it will never go away until I stand in glory one day and see Him face to face. My standard for living, my standard for loving is Jesus Christ, but I can't throw out the rest of the Bible.
That's right. Come on.
You know, people wear bracelets and they wear necklaces, and I don't know what the new fad is. They talk about what would Jesus do, WWJD, and now they've got new, and they just new fads and new, and all it is a way for these Christian bookstores to sell you something.
That's right.
And you go buy it and wear it around, and like, that's so cool, it's so precious, it warms my heart. It's not what did Jesus do, it's what does God say?
Come on, preach it, brother.
Amen.
What does God say?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
I know know what Jesus did. I know what he would do, but you're not Jesus.
Right.
Now, he said, follow me, and I am following him. But understand something. He has given me a book that gives me more details than I just by looking at his life. I will see the whole well-rounded picture by studying the whole book. The whole counsel of God.
Amen.
My standard for living and loving is Jesus, of course. But there's more to this Bible than just the life of Christ. Jesus is on every page. Don't misunderstand me. So that means he's on this one too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
That means he's on this one too.
That's right. Come on.
Amen.
Quickly, let's understand a few things here, and I'll let you go home. Number one, this passage is primarily, mainly, now listen, mainly dealing with friendships and marriage. Friendships, and look again in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now stop right there and look up here for a second. Being yoked together is a lot more than just spending time with someone. Being yoked together is a biblical phrase to help us understand there is a connection between two people. This is a direct reference to marriage. Yoked together, husband and a wife, they shall no more be two, but one flesh. They shall cleave to each other, become one flesh. They're yoked together. It's a union between two people, listen now, that goes far beyond just a casual acquaintance.
That's right. Amen, preacher.
Verse 14, look at verse 14. Be not, again, the following, past that, unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Notice, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Look in verse 15. What concord Christ with Belial? What part that he that believeth with an infidel? Again, verse 16. What agreement? Look, those are those words. Fellowship, communion, concord, a part. When you're a part of someone, it's more than just a casual acquaintance.
Yeah, that's right.
When you're a part of someone, that is a direct picture of marriage.
Yeah.
I don't need to go in detail there, do I? Okay. We're all adults in here. Yeah, okay. We're all adults in here. But that's more than just a casual acquaintance. That's more than a co-worker at work. That's more than someone that you meet at the grocery store and talk to for a little while. That's more than a neighbor that you have a relationship with. This is mainly dealing with a friendship where there's a connection there where you would say, this is my friend.
Yeah.
This is my best friend.
Right.
Friendship is far beyond. You see, the Bible tells us that friendship, a friend loveth at all times.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Friendship is a lot more than just acquaintance with someone. Knowing somebody and just through a relationship of whether it be work or school or otherwise. These words indicate much more than just a casual acquaintance. My fellowship with Jesus is way more than a casual acquaintance.
That's right.
Are y'all with me? Don't fall asleep on me now. Come on. I don't have to entertain you, do you? Pay attention and listen. My fellowship with Jesus is way farther than just a casual acquaintance. My fellowship with Jesus is indeed fellowship, communion, concord, part. I'm part of him. He's part of me. He's in me. And I'm in him.
Amen.
You see, marriage is a picture of salvation.
Right.
Marriage is a picture of two people becoming one before God.
Amen.
But see, before you're saved, you and God are two different, farly vast different people.
Right.
The Bible even says that you're at enmity. You're an enemy against God in your natural, unsaved flesh.
Right.
But when God sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and he paid for on the cross, he paid for our unrighteousness. The Bible says he came to make reconciliation, to reconcile us back unto God, to make us one again. And then when we called upon the name of the Lord, by faith, receiving the gift of God, not something that I earned, not something that I bought, not something that somebody else did for me, but God himself giving me everlasting life, then he not only saved my wretched soul, but he gave me Jesus Christ. I now have part with Christ. He is now in me. That is far beyond a casual acquaintance.
Amen. Amen.
So therefore, My relationship with uncleanness, my relationship with the sin in this world, must remain casual.
That's right.
And minimal.
That's right.
Because now I am part with God. I have now fellowship and communion with the God of heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
So, listen, this is mainly referring to yoking up with people in marriage or in friendship, of, you know, real close friendship where you do everything together, you dress like each other. I hope you're beyond that by now. But that doesn't mean I'm going to be unfriendly to people.
Right.
Okay, stay with me now. That doesn't mean I'm going to be unfriendly. That doesn't mean that I'm going to treat people like they've got the plague. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to be mean to people.
Yeah.
But what it means, though, is I'm not going to yoke up with them in a relationship of true concord and agreement where they're part of my life and I'm part of their life beyond casual acquaintance.
Right. That's right.
You understand, right? Your spouse, your mate, ought to be your best friend. And a best friend is going to be someone who's a lot closer to you than just a casual acquaintance or co-worker, etc. I'm not to unite my body. Look again there in verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And ye are the temple of the living God. That's talking about your body. If you're saved this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, if you're not saved this morning, you need to get saved before you leave this place. But if you're saved this morning, listen, your body is the temple of the living God.
Yeah.
He now lives and dwells in us. And the Bible says there is no agreement. I am not to unite my body with unclean bodies of idolatry.
Amen.
Again, a direct relation or a direct reference to marriage.
Right.
Marriage. God says there's nothing, you don't have anything in common with unbelievers. You don't have anything in common with those who aren't in Christ. You don't have any fellowship. There's nothing, there's no communion. There's no agreement there. The two cannot walk together except they be agreed.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm not to unite my body in any type of relationship with unbelievers.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Go ahead, preacher.
The Bible still calls that fornication.
That's right.
Yep, that's right.
Fornication.
Yeah.
It's immorality.
That's right.
It's nothing but the definition of uncleanness.
That's right. Come on.
Right.
It's nothing but uncleanness. It is everything that's unclean and disgraceful to the name of Christ.
That's right.
That's right.
That man preaches.
Now, but that doesn't mean that I'm never going to know people.
Right.
Or spend time with people. Yeah. Or be around. You see the difference? See, I'm trying to help us see. This union between a man and a woman, or a real true friendship, where you keep company with people on purpose.
Right.
On purpose, where you do things. And it's reserved, listen, for other believers.
Yep.
Especially the marriage union. Yep. Let me move on here. So this passage is mainly dealing with friendships and marriages. Number two, this passage does not say that I will never have any dealings with unbelievers.
That's right, Richard.
Yeah.
Okay? We can't avoid that. We live in a world full of unbelievers.
Yeah.
We can't avoid unbelievers. We can't avoid having any dealings with them. We live in the same world. We walk on the same sidewalks. We drive on the same streets. We shop in the same stores. We work in the same factories. We're not going to be able to avoid people altogether. That's not what this is teaching.
Yeah. Amen.
When we conduct business transactions, go grocery shopping, you're going to be interacting with unsaved people more than likely.
Yeah.
You go to the gas station. You go to your workplace. I'm to be the light of the world. I'm to be the salt of the earth. Therefore, listen, I'm going to have to live in the world and on the earth.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So this is not teaching that you cannot be around anybody, you can't ever talk to anybody, you can't ever relate or have any type of communication with anybody. Listen, I'm always going to interact with unsaved people. Number one, because as light and salt, I may be the only hope they have for Jesus and for salvation. I mean, dearly beloved, listen to me. This is not teaching that we're to isolate ourselves and hide in a closet somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
It's not what it's teaching.
That's right. Amen.
It can't. There's no way. That does not line up with Scripture. That is not what the Lord left us here to be. We are here to be light and salt. It does not say I'm never going to have any dealings with unbelievers. But again, I'm not to be yoked up with them.
That's right.
You see the difference?
Amen.
It's a different level of relationship.
Yep.
I'm not to be, it does not say that I may never have any dealings with unbelievers. However, number three, it does say, listen now, that I am not to stay.
That's right.
Among them.
Amen.
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 There again, verse 17. Wherefore, what's those next two words?
Come out.
What does that mean? That means I'm in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in there.
Yep.
I have to be in there because I'm in the world.
That's right.
I have to go to work.
Yeah. Yep.
Men, you have to go to work.
Amen.
Okay? Ladies, you're going to interact with people.
Yep.
You're going to see people. You have to be a friendly person. We're not supposed to be a bunch of uptight, mean, angry, bitter, you know, scared of people. Christians, come on. That's not what this is saying. Right. But it does say that I'm not to stay among them.
Right.
Amen.
Okay? Again, I'm certainly not supposed to live among them.
Amen.
I'm not supposed to move them in with me. I'm not supposed to have a relationship that goes beyond what I know to be clean and right and pure. I'm going to come out from among them after work and go home to my clean house.
Amen.
Amen.
Where God is. You see how this? You see what this is teaching here? Yes, I have to go to work, and I have to be among people that don't love God, and that maybe even curse His name, and that make fun of me, and don't understand me, but listen to me. But God says, okay, I know that. Be light. Be salt while you're there, but come out.
That's right. Amen.
You shouldn't go home to the same uncleanness, is what I'm trying to say.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
Right? You see what I mean? God says, okay, I know you have to be there. I know you're going to be among them, but come out from among them. That's what it says. Come out from among them.
Yep.
I'm going to come out from among them on Sunday mornings for Sunday school.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
Amen.
If I'm going to be right with God.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Why do you think God gave us a place to gather ourselves?
Amen.
Amen.
And when you just don't come, if you're a church member here, now visitors, I'm not talking to you right now. You can just listen and smile, amen. But church members, listen. If you just don't come when we're here,
come on.
Then you're disobeying what He just said.
Help us, preacher. Help us.
Come out from among them. See. Now I know. Now I'm preaching a little bit, but I'm trying to get you to understand. You have to be in the world. You have to be out there among them. But you're supposed to come out from among them where God wants you to be, to see and be with God in closer fellowship with Him. Separate from them, not a part of them. You see the difference? Not yoked up with them, separated from them, not in concord and agreement. Ha ha ha! Your joke's funny. Yeah, you're right. And then I'm not to be part of that. Right. I'm not to agree with that. I'm not to participate in that. I'm to be different. I'm to be separate. I've got to be light. By the way, if you just be light in that world, you will be separate.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right, preacher.
Come out from among them. You don't stay there. You don't live there. You certainly come out. You come out from among the unclean world, and you be separated unto the people of God in your church, unto the people of God when the doors are open in this church. It says, I'm not going to ever be able to avoid people. That's not what God wants. But it does say I need to not stay there.
That's right.
I need to come out when it's time to come out.
Amen. Amen.
Number four, not only does this passage say that I'm not to stay among them, but this passage also says that I'm not to do what they do.
Yeah.
Okay? Listen, I can go to work and be around unbelievers who don't like truth and don't like the Bible. Maybe they don't go to church. Maybe they even make fun of me when they find out I'm a Christian. But you understand, I'm not going to join them.
That's right, preacher.
I'm not going to become part of them just because they don't like the fact that I'm different.
Yeah.
You understand? Jesus is the light of the world. Yeah. He lives in our hearts. You understand that, right? And as I live and dwell among unsaved, unbelievers, I'm not yoked up with them. I just happen to be in the same place of employment or school. You understand? Or in the same grocery store. But the condemnation of man, the Bible says in John chapter 3, is that light has come into the world.
Yep.
But men love darkness rather than light.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why the Bible says right here in this passage that light has no communion with darkness.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Heaven is light.
That's right.
Heaven is light.
Amen.
Right. Hell is utter darkness.
That's right.
Amen.
And there's a reason that there's going to, for all eternity, there's going to be a vast difference between the two. There is going to be no fellowship ever between heaven and hell. There's going to be no fellowship ever, there is right now, no fellowship ever between death and life. There's going to be no fellowship between believers in heaven and unbelievers in hell.
That's right.
No fellowship.
That's right.
And God says, listen, you're not going to have fellowship with that light. They love darkness. Now listen to me. But light can be a drawing to bring them out of that darkness. Light can be love and giving them the truth of salvation. But you're not supposed to stay there, and you're certainly not supposed to participate in their works of darkness. Otherwise, what good are you as a Christian if you look and act and do everything they do?
That's
100% against what the Bible's teaching here. It doesn't mean you're going to be the preacher. It doesn't mean you're going to be, you know, a missionary or a deacon even or whatever. It just means you're going to be right with God. There is no way you and I can live in a cave. That's not what this is saying. And what it says is, look at verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. How do I be separate? Don't touch the unclean thing. There it is. I'm not to touch the cigarettes.
Come on.
Let's old fashioned preach it now.
Amen. Come on.
I'm not to touch the beer cans.
Come on.
I'm not to touch the slot machines.
Come on.
I'm not to touch the ungodly music CDs.
Come on.
I'm not to touch the worldly movie DVDs. I'm not to touch the unclean movie seats, movie house seats. Listen, you see, now all of a sudden, you were loving me a minute ago. But it still says, touch not the unclean thing. I can still live among them without touching what they touch, without doing what they do, without participating, without talking like they talk. That's what God's trying to say here. I'm telling you right now, God does not want us to live in a cave, but He specifically says you can be there without touching it.
That's right.
You know, we touch with more than our fingers. We touch with our lips. We touch with our eyes. Come on now, we touch with our ears.
Come on.
By the way, you touch with your feet. There's no biblical justification for you to say, well, you know, we live in the age of grace, so God just gives us liberty. I have liberty in Christ. I'm just being a testimony. I'm just being a witness. I'm just trying to win them to Christ. How are you going to win them to Christ if your life is identical to theirs and you're touching everything they touch and you're doing everything they do and you're going everywhere they go and you're watching everything they watch and you're listening to everything they listen to? How in the world are you going to win them to Christ? There's no Christ in your life.
Come on.
Come on. preach.
You think they're going to believe you when you start talking about Jesus?
Mom. Come on, preacher.
You're going to be around them. You've got to be around them, but you're not to touch. You're not to touch what they touch. That's what this is teaching. That's what this is teaching us. That's what God is telling us. Listen, I have called you to be now clean. Look, it says, touch not the unclean thing. Because there's no fellowship, the Bible says, with righteousness and unrighteousness. There's no communion with the temple of God, which is nothing but absolute Shekinah glory purity, and then the temple of idolatry, which is nothing but darkness.
That's right.
There's no communion there. There's no fellowship. Listen, when you get saved. When you get saved, God will change your heart. Well, you no longer want to touch that. You no longer want to participate in that. The preacher won't have to preach about it. You will want to stay away from the unclean thing. You will no longer desire that. You will go home and pour that down the sink, and you will go home and throw that in the trash. You will go home and say, "Dear God, I have heard your voice. I have accepted your salvation. You have made me clean from the inside. I am whole. I am now yours. I am now the temple of the living God. And I don't want to touch the unclean thing any longer. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to lay my eyes on it. I don't want to hear it. Why? Because I'm pure. I'm in Christ."
That's right, preacher.
But God still has to tell us these things, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's right, preacher. Yep.
Because our old nature... Our old nature is still there. Still there. And although I have to be around unsaved people, because I do love them.
Amen. Yes.
You see, to win a soul to Christ is the greatest joy a Christian could ever have.
Amen, brother. That's right. Amen. That's right.
The greatest joy a Christian could ever have.
Right.
But they need to know that we love them. That we care about them.
Yes.
See, truth doesn't mean that we don't love them.
Right.
What truth means is that I want them to know the truth that God has made me know through this book, through His Word, through His power, through the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the shed blood of my Savior. And through that power, listen, that blood still has power today. If you're not saved this morning, that blood is calling your name. Hallelujah. That blood is said, that is the power of God to wash you from all uncleanness, to cleanse every spot, every stain, every blemish, every wrinkle, and you will be made whiter than snow. Hallelujah. That blood is the only power that can do that.
That's right.
But that blood is shed out of love for lost sinners. That blood was shed out of giving His life for sinners to come to the righteousness of God. That blood was shed when He came down and dwelt among us.
That's right. Amen, preach.
That's why Jesus spent time with sinners.
That's right.
Because He came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Right.
Now, if you tell me, preacher, I'm spending time with so-and-so, I'm spending time with such-and-such to win them to Christ. Now, I've heard that.
Yeah.
That's reality.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of that being used as an excuse.
Yeah, right. Come on, preacher, brother.
Yep.
To go sit on the bar stools with them.
Come on, preacher.
Come on, preacher, preach.
To go watch the smutty movies with them.
Uh-huh. Come on.
To hang out in their house and drink with them.
Come on. Well,
that's see this. This is not what God's telling. God is telling them we're going to have to be around them, but we're not going to do what they do.
Right.
We're not going to touch what they touch.
That's right.
Baptists for a long time, independent Baptists, which is what we are, and by the grace of God, I will die an independent Baptist.
Amen.
Because all independent Baptist is a Bible believer.
Right.
People say, "Well, y'all are so uptight about this and that and the other." Listen, I'm not uptight, but God says, Touch not the unclean thing.
Come on, preacher.
Free, sir.
I didn't say it.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
Amen.
I didn't say it.
That's right.
God said it.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And then he says, and I will receive you.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters.
Amen.
What is that, preacher? That's fellowship.
Amen.
That's right.
That's drawing near to God as I draw away from the unclean thing.
Amen. Amen.
And I don't allow that unclean thing to pollute my heart, to pervert my mind, to fill me and my spirit with the uncleanness of this world. Because then I will not be close to the Lord. He says, uncleanness is over there. Cleanness is over here where he's at.
Uh-huh.
I'm done this morning. There's a verse, I'm just going to read it to you. In Habakkuk, it says, O Lord my God, mine Holy One, O Lord, O mighty God, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. God hates sin.
That's right. Amen.
Listen, Jesus died.
Yep.
Because of sin.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, preacher.
Sin.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, he loved us? Absolutely he loved. Oh, he gave his life? Absolutely. Yeah. But what made him do that was sin.
That's right.
And it ought to bother Christians to keep sinning, knowing that that's why their Savior bled and died.
Come on, preacher. Preach.
Two things. Only two possible scenarios are: either you're not really saved to begin with, or you're just around too much uncleanness that it just doesn't bother you anymore.
Come on, preacher.
It doesn't mean I'm better. It doesn't mean, again, I'm not talking. Listen, before you go out of here and say, "That's right, I'm better than." No. Just don't be a Pharisee. This is not teaching for us to be Pharisees. This is not teaching us to be self-righteous and holier than thou. That's a bunch of junk, and you know that. That's not true at all. What the Bible is telling us is that we can't participate in what they're doing, or else we'll never be able to win them to our Savior.
That's right, preacher.
That's right.
There's so much power in purity.
Amen. That's right.
There's power in purity, dearly beloved. There's power in purity. God is pure,
Amen.
Without sin, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners.
Right.
That was said about our Savior in Hebrews chapter 7.
That's right.
Amen, preacher.
He may have sat among them and ate with them, and he did. But I guarantee you, they knew that he was not like them.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They either loved him and anointed him with their tears, or they rejected him.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they knew, he is not like me.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
He was not touching what they were touching.
Yeah.
He was not participating in what they were participating in. He was around them. He was among them. But listen to me. In his heart, he was separate.
That's right.
He was separate from them. And they knew it.
Amen.
The Pharisees knew it to such a degree, Brother Ethan, that they crucified him.
That's right.
The things that came out of his mouth were pure,
Amen.
Righteous, yeah. Holy, without sin. Amen. He said, none of you can convince me of one sin, but yet you want to crucify me.
Yeah.
Because, see, crucifixion was reserved for criminals.
That's right.
Breakers of the law.
Yeah.
And he said, you can't even convince me of one sin, but you want to crucify me.
Yeah, come on.
You know why? Because they knew he was different.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
And it convicted them to the core.
Yeah.
Yep.
But he was sitting there right there with them. God's not telling us to isolate ourselves and to be afraid of people.
Right. Yeah.
No, he says you're going to have to be among them.
Yeah, that's right, preacher. Amen.
But don't stay there.
Yes.
Amen.
And don't do what they do.
That's right. Amen.
Don't participate in it.
That's right.
Let them see the light.
Yes.
Let them taste the salt.
Amen.
Yes.
There's a God in heaven who sent his only begotten Son to dwell among us.
Yep.
So we're going to have to dwell among them. When Jesus interacted with the uncleanness of this world, it was for one reason, dearly beloved, to draw them closer to his Father.
That's right, preacher.
When God says, come out, don't yoke up with them. You shouldn't have anything in common with them outside of trying to reach them for Christ. Oh, you're going to love them. Listen, we're not going to be unfriendly. Please do not let that lie. That's what they're trying to tell us. That well, how you listen to me and I'm done. That's not what this is saying at all.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
Separation is for one thing, so that the world can see Jesus in me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can stay clean, so they can know you're different.
Yes.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray I did this passage justice this morning. Father, I know how the average person is very unsure and unclear on what this is teaching, but Father, I love you, and I think you've made it very plain to us, very clear. And Lord, today as I humble myself, I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to the hearts. Lord, I pray you would make it clear to all of us what this biblical doctrine of separation is all about. Lord, I pray for sinners to see Jesus in us, because we do not stay among the unclean things. We do not dwell. We are not in agreement with them. We do not enjoy their jokes. We do not participate and go and follow and speak. Lord, help us, Father, please, to wrap our minds around this truth, our hearts around this truth today. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for truth that makes us free. Lord, help us to go out into this world today, and God, to understand we must be among them. God, help us to win souls. Help us to witness. Help us to do the work that you called us to do, until Jesus comes back for us. But God, may we keep ourselves pure. May we keep ourselves clean. I pray. Now this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I pray no one looking around. Although this passage is speaking to Christians about keeping themselves clean and their lives pure, it's also very much related to salvation. You cannot stay in your unsaved condition. You cannot stay in your unsaved, spiritual, dead condition and ever have fellowship with God. You must come out from the lost condition of the darkness of your heart and come into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life on the cross to die for our sins. He was buried and he rose again in power and victory over the grave and death. And he now offers to you and to me eternal salvation. What he's done is he's called us out of the darkness and the despair and the condemnation of hell unto the marvelous light of his gospel. That's salvation, dearly beloved. That's what it's all about. That is the gospel, the good news. It's not condemnation, it's salvation. Everlasting forgiveness. Everlasting life. You say, preacher, this morning, as I sit here in the quiet of this minute, this hour, if I died right now, I know I would go straight to heaven. I know I've been saved. Would you raise your hand as a testimony? I know I'm saved. Thank you. I see those hands. You can put them down. Thank you very much. Now, some of you this morning could not raise your hand. Again, I don't know why. But I do want to say to you this morning that you can know before you leave this building. Not because this building is going to save you. Not because this preacher is going to save you. But because the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed for your soul. For the cleansing of all sin. See, sin is the reason people perish and spend eternity in hell, in that darkness. But the light of the Lord Jesus Christ has come to offer you salvation by grace. You cannot buy that, dearly beloved. You cannot buy that with anything that you have. The blood of Jesus is the only price that God will accept. You must come through the blood. If you're here this morning and there's any doubt in your heart, listen, I want you to be sure we're going to pray for you. I want you to be sure we love you. God has already proved that when He gave His life on Calvary. We love you. We preach the gospel around here because we know that's the only hope for sinners. It's the only reason we're ever going to stand in glory with God. But this morning, I want to ask you a quick question. If you could not raise your hand, listen, we're not going to embarrass you. We're all praying for you this morning. Those of us who are saved are praying for you right now. That you would understand you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to come out and come unto the Lord this morning. Can I pray for you? You say, preacher, I'm not sure. I don't know if I died right now. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I promise you I will. If you'll just quietly slip up your hand right there where you sit. Just slip up your hand quietly and let me thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. No one's looking around. Christians are praying. Maybe you just say, preacher, I don't know. Pray for me. I want to pray for you. One's already raised their hand. The ice is broken, so to speak. How about you? Are you here this morning and say, preacher, there's a nagging doubt in my heart. I just don't know. Can I pray for you this morning? Would there be another? Just slip your hand up this morning and say, preacher, pray for me. I don't know that if I died today that I'd go to heaven. But I sure don't want to go to hell. Can I pray for you this morning? Is there one like that? You may be a church member. Amen. Thank you. I see that hand. You may be a church member. Listen, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Many people get saved from a church pew. God's still working in your heart. Don't turn Him away. Don't lose the opportunity that God's speaking to you this morning. Would you be honest one more time this morning? If you're not sure, can I pray for you? Would you slip your hand up? Just quietly slip it up, put it right back down. All right, thank you. Christians, I hope that you have a better understanding of separation. There's one purpose behind separation, and that is to be closer to God. To be closer to the Lord. To be right with Him, to enjoy His fellowship. It's not to be mean. It's not to be harsh and ugly and to be so you can be weird. It's only because God desires a closer fellowship with us. Heavenly Father, Lord, please do the work in the hearts here today. I pray for those who raise their hand, admit it, they're not sure they're saved. Oh, Lord, my heart begs for their soul, God. Lord, my heart begs for their soul. God, they're in the throes of struggle. struggling between life and death and light and darkness and Satan and Jesus, oh God, right now, would you get victory in that heart? Would you bring them, oh God, out of that darkness this morning into the precious light of salvation? God, for your people today, those of us who are saved, God, help us to understand that.